This is the Saxo Market Call, the daily financial markets podcast, across asset classes and around the world.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Friday, 9th of June, 2023. So we see after a couple of strange sessions with all of these crazy divergences, and especially yesterday with a big sell-off in mega caps and a lot of the AI names, and then we've noted as well this resurgence in the small caps and value names, that sort of stopped. There was a little bit of divergence in that the latter, the value and small cap stuff was sideways to a bit lower, but we did see a strong resurgence, Peter, in sort of the headline mega cap names once again. S&P 500 banging on the door again at 4,300. And I sorted the performance of our equity theme baskets there on a one-week basis. And it's been a pretty strong week, to say the least, for just the average basket. Heading into a really important week ahead, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at the theme baskets, I'm a little bit surprised to see some of the baskets that have performed as well as they have over the past week. I mean, construction, I think that's pretty interesting given the central bank announcement we've had from RBA and Bank of Canada, also the move higher in the long end of the US yield curve. So I think these equity markets just very interesting to say at least, and also the price action you mentioned yesterday, and I on slide three I've put in the VIX index. It went to a new low for the cycle, the close there, and it's just spectacular. The forward curve as well, that's spread between the spot index, the VIX index itself, and then the second contract out on the curve. That spread, that is what I've highlighted on the chart to the right. You can see here it's we are in contango, and if you look at the period where the period with no inversion in the forward curve of the VIX, it has been very long now. There was a very small dip during the U.S. banking crisis, but otherwise it's been a very, very calm period. And it mimics the calm periods in intensity, or it has the same pattern as what we have had in 2021, when we're just galloping higher towards that record high, but also the low volatility year of 2017, when volatility was sucked out of every asset class. It's just... it is what it is. It sends very strong signals in the market, the options market, betting on further momentum. But it feels a little bit worrying, John, as we've talked about. I don't feel comfortable about this. Maybe we're entering a melt-up scenario. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I don't know what degree a high jobless claims number yesterday, 261K, the first one over 250K. We did have a previous print above that level that was then revised lower. So we have seen some crazy revisions there. But that was a data point that saw yields heading lower. And that may have improved sentiment somewhat, although I think it's really silly in the longer run. If we're talking about a U.S. recession coming in, that's not great for the equity market. And it's at the June FOMC meeting. So next week's FOMC meetings, hike odds down to about 25%. And then there was this Tesla news, Peter, and I was surprised to see that it looked like it was after the close that the GM CEO tweeted that they are joining the Tesla's supercharger network, following Ford in doing so, essentially making the Tesla supercharger the standard for the U.S. And Tesla shares were already up, and then they added on something like $10 after the close. And let's remember, we have single stock weekly expiries on Friday, so this is essentially a zero DTE day for Tesla. So that's going to be really at the center of some crazy intraday action, or I suspect it will be, on zero DTE for those options. And this news mix, it's really accelerated here with the price action for that particular stock. And if we roll forward to FX, there's not a lot to talk about. I think we're really going to see next week as a big test for the dollar, the FOMC, CPI meeting, CPI release the day before the meeting, and the retail sales up as well. So it's just a lot in the mix for the dollar next week. Similar for sterling, as we've talked about, with the jobless data and payrolls data on Tuesday next week, and the Bank of Japan on Friday with all of that, especially U.S. yields. What are they doing? And then, of course, if they can show signs of tweaking policy before their policy review is completed in a year's time. For now, though, the big mover at the moment is the Norwegian krona, getting quite a boost this morning, to say the least, from a very hot CPI number. This very weak krona has been aggravating the inflationary dynamics there. You can see on slide four that Euronaki chart, just an incredible rise. Noki The Norwegian krone is something like 10% weaker versus the euro this week. This year. And this May CPI print at 0.7% month on month for the core, far higher than the 0.4% expected. And that's a new cycle high for the year on year at 6.7%. Norges Bank is going to have to get serious there, and the market pricing it to do so a little bit more as well. Probably the most significant sell-off sort of technically relative to the prior rally wave we've seen in quite some time. So note that, and note the Chinese renminbi just remaining one of the weakest currencies. All right, we have to turn to fixed income, Althea. You're here with us in the studio. And there's all the talk, of course, about the U.S. Treasury issuance, and you've been you're certainly on top of that issue as we've gotten here post debt ceiling. Issuance has started to come in now, obviously now because they can expand the debt ceiling. But you're saying the pace of issuance really hasn't ramped up yet.
Not yet, John. So this week we had the U.S. Treasuries selling around $350 billion worth in T-bills. And as you can see from slide number five, the Treasury general account has moved higher only by $50 billion. By the end of June, it should basically increase towards that $500 billion mark. So it means that in the next 3 weeks, we should see more issuances. And according to the Treasury schedule, auction schedule that was issued yesterday, already next week, the U.S. Treasury is ramping up coupon and also T-bill sales. Just to give you an idea of the amount of volumes that are going to be sold in debt markets. So just for Monday and Tuesday, the U.S. Treasury is going to sell $296 billion worth of T-bills and coupon issuances. And yet we don't know the volumes for Wednesday and Thursday next week, which could be comparable to Monday and Tuesday. But as you know, John, I always try to look at cracks for liquidity. And yesterday we had two auctions from the U.S. Treasuries, and one of them came out quite weak. The four-week auction was poorly subscribed. The bid to cover was below the six auction averages, and it tailed in yield by 4.5 basis points. The caveat here is that there might be two reasons why this auction was poorly subscribed. The first reason is that maybe while there was a rally, so yields were dropping during the auction, those investors that were price sensitives pulled out last minute, and that provoked a tail. The other option is that the yield the auction was cleared at 5.09% in yield, which is above the yield paid on the reverse repo facility, so money market funds, but below the bank's reserves at the Fed, which are paid 5.15%. So the big take is in here, and the question that I'm asking myself, does that mean that there is not enough demand from money market funds, and that the flow that we have seen earlier in the week comes from banks' reserves? This we cannot answer until we have banks' reserves data coming in next week, but definitely it could be pave to something more in the next few weeks.
All right. It'll be very interesting to watch. Also, those auctions next week, 3/10s and 30s, that I have those on the calendar as well, the macro calendar. And then take us through what you're looking at there on slide six. I'm not sure I understand the focus there on the euros.
Yeah, so basically I've been talking a lot about the fact that the front part of the German yield curve is rich. And in slide six, you see the two-year euro swap spread. So basically the difference between the two-year swap and the 2 years German government yield. And as you can see, this week has dropped dramatically, bringing us back to levels at the end of April. So what does that mean is that yields have risen substantially, and The question here is that is if they can rise further during the ECB meeting, and if we can have the two-year German bonds testing that 3% or even breaking that resistance level.
Yeah, a lot of focus on the central banks next week. ECB also meeting next week and expected to hike 25 basis points. The euro formerly strong and the pound as well across the market. And then we had the focus or the limelight stolen by the RBA and Bank of Canada by them restarting and accelerating their pace of tightening once again. All right, let's roll forward to the earnings watch. I put up a chart there on slide 7, Peter, but I don't know if you want to talk to the NEO name today and a couple of other ones, other names reporting next week.
No, the NEO name obviously is, which is one of China's EV makers competing with Tesla. Of course, that's of interest. There's a lot of focus on the electric vehicle makers, and especially also with the deal announced by Tesla and GM, Ford, etc. And it's the whole space is just really growing fast. So I'm very curious to hear what NIO is saying also about the demand in China. The Chinese vehicle passenger sales came out the other day, showing a pretty healthy plus 25% growth from a year ago. So it seems like while some parts of the Chinese economy is not doing as well, it seems like there's things are going pretty well in the car industry. And on Lennar, as I said earlier on the podcast, John, I find it fascinating how some of these home builders have actually been able to bounce back. We're seeing the same signals here in Europe, also here in Denmark. It's almost like the initial interest rate shock sort of just like gave a blow to the industry. But now, as wages are coming higher, materials prices are coming down, the industry is sort of healing, and everyone is just adjusting their expectations to these new interest rate hikes, and it has gone back and resuming their increases. And as you said as well, with the decision by Bank of Canada, I mean, the initial interest rate hike, killed some demand, but then now you're seeing house prices rising. We see the same here in Denmark. Housing activity is picking up, and so I think this is a story to watch, and I like the Lennar. We'll track that, and then of course you've highlighted Adobe as well. And on Thursday, Adobe has really been kicking into gear lately with their recent update based on these new AI systems. They're doing some pretty fantastic things, I think, on how you can change images and videos, etc., in their new suite of software.
Yeah, 2 points I wanted to make on the Lennar. I just plotted the chart there on slide 7, the Lennar chart, the black candlesticks there, approaching those highs, all-time highs. And you can see it's a pretty straightforward correlation of the last 23 years, 24 years, between the share price and the general direction of housing starts, which have come down and haven't really rebounded yet. So it's we need to see these housing starts rebound to have that sort of correlation hold here. And you can see that Lennar has even outperformed the general ETF for U.S. home builders. So, an interesting divergence there, to say the least. And then Jabil, I don't know how you say that name, actually, an interesting stock. They're touting their AI solutions, but it does look like their revenue, at least consensus forecast on the revenues, are for it to fall. The stock has done spectacularly well, and I suspect there's an AI angle and shine on it. But that's an interesting one, too, to test whether it's actually performing relative to the stock's performance. Roll forward to slide 8. So much going on next week, and I think we'll cover it on Monday because we've talked through most of this already anyway. But just the U.S. Treasury auctions on Monday is the main thing to point out, and on Monday we'll look ahead at the week ahead, which I think will be critical really across markets. For today, really not much left on the calendar, just the Canadian employment report up this afternoon. So that'll do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. No, we won't, because it's weekend tomorrow. So we'll be back next week on Monday with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.